भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं मुदीरयेत्। Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother of Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nasta prayashvabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes in the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious in the heart is almost completely destroyed to nil, and thus loving devotional service unto the transcendent personality of Godhead is established as an irrevocable fact. So, continuing Srimad Bhagavatam, in Canto 6, Chapter 4, Texts 49 through 50. And the title of this chapter is the Hamsa Guhya Prayers. Sa vai yada Mahadevo mama viryopa brimhita mene kilam ivatmanam udyata svarga karmani ata me ab. Oh, the first one's on. Okay, sorry. Savaya da mahadevo. Savaya da mahadevo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Udyata svarga karmani. Savayada mahadevo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Udyata svarga karmani. Savayada mahadevo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Udyata svarga karmani. Savayada mahadevo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Udyata svarga karmani. Mahadevo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Ujita svarga karmani. Savayada mahadevo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Ujita svarga karmani. Atami mahadevo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Udyata svarga karmani. Anyone else? Savaya devo. Mama viryo pabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Ujita svarga karmani. Madhijis? Savayada mahadevo. Mama viryo vabrimhita. Mene kilam ivatmanam. Ujata svarga karmani. Anyone else? I'll chant the second verse myself. Atame bihito devas tapo tapyata darunam nava vishva shijo yushman yenadav ashidad vibhu. Word for word meaning. Saha, that Lord Brahma. Vai, indeed. Yada, when. Mahadeva, the chief of all the demigods. Mama, my. Virya upabrimhita, being increased by the potency. Mene, thought. Kilam, incapable. Iva, as if. Atmanam, himself. Udyata, attempting. Svarga karmani, in the creation of the universal affairs. Ata, at that time. Me, by me. Abhihita, advised. Deva, that Lord Brahma. Tapa, austerity. Atapyata, performed. Darunam, extremely difficult. Nava, nine. Vishvashija, important personalities to create the universe. Yusman, all of you. Yena, by whom. Adao, in the beginning. Ashrijat, created. Vibhu, the great. Translation. When the chief lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Svayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice, and in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create nine personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. Can repeat, please. When the chief lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Svayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice. And in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create nine personalities, including you, to help him in the function of creation. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, Rishabdev advised his sons, Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudhyed. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Verse 1. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. Savayada mahadevo mama viryopa brimhita mene kilam ivatmanam udyata svarga karmani atame bihito devas tapo tapyat darunam navavishvas shijo yushman yenadav ashijad vibhu. When the chief lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice, and in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Paragamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shivisha Kanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopishag Vikakanta Rara Kantara Moshtute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutidevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Vditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Adwaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master, by his causeless mercy, has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. How could I ever forget his mercy upon me? So this is the Lord himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaking. Being pleased by the prayers of Daksha Prabhu, he was pleased to offer his devotee the benediction of his personal appearance and his blessings. We can understand from this verse and also previous verses that Daksha is not an ordinary personality. And in spite of what Srila Prabhupada tells us about his, of course, being very attached to sex life, he is acting in a very important capacity for the Lord. Here it talks about Lord Brahma. It talks about the importance of tapasya or austerities. Lord Brahma, when he took his birth, and he is called Atma Yoni, one who is self-born. He took birth directly from the Lord on top of the lotus flower, not from any mundane mother or father. The first created being within the universe. And when he took birth upon the lotus flower, we can only imagine the situation within the universe. And everything was in darkness. And he was confused and didn't know what to do. He followed his intuition and climbed down the hollow of the lotus stem and began wading through the Garbhadak ocean, trying to find the cause of his existence. There's a very nice verse in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj that states, "From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated. But Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. He could find no trace of you, however, for when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. This is an important, interesting part of philosophy, as explained, just like any plant takes birth from a seed. However, when the plant takes birth and grows, the seed itself is gone. And so, in that way, Lord Brahma could not find out the source of his existence. But as he was walking through the Garbhadak water, somewhat bewildered, he heard the sound. Who knows what that sound was? Tapa. And he understood intuitively that he should perform austerity. So he went back to the lotus stem, climbed up the lotus stem, and sat on top for many years. Sometimes it's mentions 100 years of the demigods. Other places it's mentioned 1,000 celestial years. And anyway, according to our calculations, for many millions and millions and millions of years, quite inconceivable to us, he spent in meditation. And when he finally became self-realized, and the Lord was pleased by his austerities, the entire spiritual world was revealed to him, what to speak of the whole process of the creation, which he was empowered to do. There's another nice verse here in the following verse in Prahlad Maharaj prayers, where he said, Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atma Yoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. Wonderful description of the self-realization of Lord Brahma. In the Bhagavad Gita, the second verse of the ninth chapter, Rajavija Rajaguyam Pavitram Idamutamam Pratyak Savagadam Tamam Dharmam Shushukam Kartam Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, is the most secret of all secrets. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, therefore it is a perfection of religion. Mukundadat Prabhu very nicely explained in his last class how self-realization is the basis of everything. Even in therapy, this self-realization concept is a concept, is a constant throughout the entire process. And this human life, of course, is a rare opportunity because as we hear from the Vedas, there are 8,400,000 different species of life. And the journey of the conditioned soul throughout material existence is immeasurable. And after going through so many different forms within the material world, somehow or other, by good fortune, one gets the human body. And in the human body, this is now finally the rarest of opportunities to realize who we are. And so we had best not squander this opportunity and apply ourselves very, very diligently to this process of yoga. And as explained, although the age of Kali, is an ocean of faults, there is one good quality, and that's simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One can gain all perfection. I thought I'd read a little bit more. from Prabhupada's words. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 8. Lord Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years by the calculation of the demigods. He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky, and he accepted it as divine. Thus, he controlled his mind and his senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus, he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. Purport. Lord Brahma heard the occult sound tapa, but he did not see the person who vibrated the sound. And still he accepted the instruction as beneficial for him. And therefore he engaged himself in meditation for 1,000 celestial years. Wow. Just imagine. Lord Brahma just heard this one sound. And on the basis of that, his understanding, his conviction was so deep that he went back to the lotus flower and sat in meditation alone within the darkness of the universe for 1,000 celestial years. Talk about determination. One celestial year is equal to 6 times 30 times 12 times 1,000 of our years. His acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. And due to his correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and the Lord's instruction. There is no difference between the Lord and the sound vibration coming from him, even though he is not personally present. The best way of understanding is to accept such divine instruction. And Brahma, the prime spiritual master of everyone, is a living example of this process of receiving transcendental knowledge. And we're in what sampradaya? The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya. The potency of transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is apparently absent. Again, the potency of transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is apparently absent. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any revealed scripture in the world is never to be accepted as an ordinary mundane sound without transcendental potency. One has to receive the transcendental sound from the right source, accept it as reality, and prosecute the direction without hesitation. The secret of success is to receive the sound from the right source of a bona fide spiritual master. Mundane manufactured sound has no potency. As such, seemingly transcendental sound received from an unauthorized person also has no potency. One should be qualified enough to discern such transcendental potency, and either by discriminating or by fortunate chance, if one is able to receive the transcendental sound from the bona fide spiritual master, his path of liberation is guaranteed. Guaranteed. Wow. So the Prophet says that by discriminating, by discriminating, just like we've all come to Krishna consciousness for different reasons. And that, of course, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. One who is inquisitive, one who's in search of money, one who's distressed, one who is searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. Or simply by fortunate chance. There's even so many stories, different stories. There's one story I remember somebody told how someone used to was very antagonistic toward the devotees. And when he would see the Harinam party, he would throw stones at the devotees. And he ended up somehow or other becoming a devotee, initiated devotee, and never left. Somehow or other, fortunate. The disciple, however, must be ready to execute the order. So we need two things, not simply a bona fide spiritual master, not simply a bona fide process of self-realization, but the disciple also has to be bona fide. And how is the disciple become bona fide or qualified? Is because of his submissive attitude and his eagerness to render service to the spiritual master. The disciple, however, must be ready to execute the order of the bona fide spiritual master as Brahma executed the instruction of his spiritual master, the Lord himself. Following the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the only duty of the disciple. Following the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the only duty of the disciple. And this completely faithful execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the secret of success. Anybody know what the secret of success is? Completely faithful execution of the order of the spiritual master. I thought we'd read now a little bit from Bhagavad Gita, since it talks about the importance of austerity here. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the verse, that famous verse from Lord Rishabhdev, where he's telling his sons that there is no need to endeavor very hard in this human form of life, because such pleasures in the human form of life, they're available to everyone without even endeavoring it. You know, the hogs, the dogs, all other living entities are getting their material enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada explained at one time that you don't see the animals dressing up in a suit and tie to go to the office to work. And yet everything they're getting is supplied by the Lord. The elephant eats, you know, many hundreds of pounds, I think sometimes maybe a thousand pounds of food a day, perhaps. But it's all supplied by the Lord. So this is the faith that's given by the spiritual master when we execute his order, as stated here. Srila Prabhupada says it's the secret of success. And the secret of success means that all the most confidential information in the Vedas is automatically revealed to us, just like it was automatically revealed to Lord Brahma. And Srila Rishabhdev says that that one better engage in austerities, because what is the result of engaging in austerities, of tapasya? That one is able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Who here wants to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss? All right. So different austerities are very nicely explained in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we'll just go through them briefly. The Lord says that Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Saucham Arjavam Brahmacharya Mahingsa Cha Sharinam Tapu Uchate. That the austerity of the body consists in this: worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence are also austerities of the body. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyayasanam chayava vanmayam tapa uchate. Austerity of speech consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially, and in avoiding speech that offends. This is austerity of speech. So again, it says one should speak truthfully and beneficially, and should avoid speech that offends. One should also recite the Vedas regularly. In this case, we might mention that it's explained that one should preach according to time, place, and circumstance. And it's one of the 10 offenses to preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. And so the qualification of a preacher is that he's able to preach in such a way that a person can digest what he's saying. And we may be preaching to, you know, a so-called non-devotee, or we may be preaching to devotees, or, you know, trying to give some instruction to another devotee. But if another devotee is simply getting angry by our instruction, then you know, we shouldn't simply become indignant. We should follow the instruction of Bhagavad Gita and try to avoid speech that offends. Those ostentatious penances and austerities, which are performed in order to gain respect, honor, and reverence, are said to be in the mode of passion. They are neither stable nor permanent. This threefold austerity, however, practiced by men whose aim is not to benefit themselves materially, but to please the Supreme, is of the nature of goodness. So the Prophet states again in the purport that in our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. So this is, especially as Americans, this is our birthright. Because as Srila Prabhupada mentioned one time, he said, "You are all Americans." He said, "If you don't do something wonderful, what good are you?" Prabhupada said that at one point. And so this is a very valuable instruction here. The example couldn't be better, is very clear, of Lord Brahma, our original spiritual master. And of course, we understand by the nature of Lord Brahma's prayers and so many prayers of exalted devotees, how great a personality Lord Brahma is, not just the creator of this material world, but very, very, very exalted soul as well. As we know, during Lord Chaitanya's pastime, he came as Srila Haridas Thakur. So we should take example from Lord Brahma and engage in austerity. And what is that austerity in our particular situation? And that is explained by Srila Prabhupada here. The troubles of penance accepted by Lord Brahma were certainly in the line of devotional service. Otherwise, there was no chance that Vaikuntha or Svalokam, the Lord's personal abode, would become visible to Brahmaji. The personal abodes of the Lord, known as the Vaikunthas, are neither mythical nor material, as conceived by the impersonalists. But realization of the transcendental abodes of the Lord is possible only through devotional service, and thus the devotees enter into such abodes. There is undoubtedly trouble in executing penance, but the trouble accepted in executing bhakti yoga is transcendental happiness from the very beginning, whereas the trouble of penances and other processes of self-realization, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc., without any Vaikuntha realization, ends in trouble only and nothing more. There is no profit in beating husks without grains. So Srila Prabhupada says this process of bhakti yoga is blissful, even from the beginning. One experiences transcendental happiness, even in the beginning. So we're also fortunate. Now we simply have to act in such a way as to make others fortunate. And we can do that by, as Srila Prabhupada says, joining this Sankirtan movement. One should, as soon as possible, join this Sankirtan movement. And in that way, and that is the real austerity, is not only that we execute this process of transcendental happiness, but we engage in trying to give it to others also. And when we engage in that way, our happiness will know no bounds. And very soon, just like Lord Brahma, the entire spiritual world will be revealed to us. So we can stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Ganesh Prabhu.
Even the materialists have a saying, You got to go out on a limb to get the fruit. That means if you want the fruit of love of God, you got to be able to do the work necessary to go get it. Take the chances, do what's taken. It's not going to just drop on your lap. On that note, this past Saturday when we went on Hari Nam, we originally said we were going to go to Venice Beach. It wasn't a very good day to go to the beach, and we decided that we're going to go to Hollywood. It's much more effort to go to Hollywood. But I could see that by going to Hollywood, the fruit was better. And when we got to Hollywood, where we normally set up, they had right in front of the Kodak Theater, on the Kodak Theater side, not the street side, they had a performance going on, you know, loud music, dancers, hip-hop music. And we were thinking, oh, where are we going to set up? We went to the north side, went to the west side, went over to the east side. Everywhere there was already somebody set up, all this noise. And I was thinking, oh, we have to start this Hari Nam up. Just like a fireman goes out and sees a city's on fire, and we just got to start putting it out. We got to put out this terrible material existence with the holy name. That's what we're out there for. So I said, let's just start up the Hari Nam right here. And right across from where they were doing this hip-hop loud music. By Krishna, nothing happens by chance. By Krishna's grace, they stopped almost simultaneously when we started the Hari Nam. So we had a clear path of view. We got their audience. I'm looking at some point, we got 30, 40 people just standing around listening to the Hari Nam. And it was just and we didn't have the best drum players or anything. We just did a nice breezy kind of kirtan, and people were just pulling their ears out to listen to it. It was just so sweet. But I think the heyday of the Hari Nam was when Sachi Tanoi's mother led the Hari Nam.
Haribo!
And everybody's like, wow, truly a spiritual movement. Haribo.
Thank you, bro. Next Hari Nam is Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Going to?
Venice Beach.
Hare Krishna, Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Lord Brahma, Ki Jai.